Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Tim Floyd with Molly and Haw.
Danny said that he was able to shower and get dressed during this answer.
What I told the sports radio station was that, first of all, the whole fishing button, the reason my name kept coming up is really encouraging me to run the triangle offense, which I had no interest in. In about year five or six.
He's my friend, but Jesus, what a yuck your own.
I'd have to fish with you sometime. I said, well, sure.
During the 96 season. Did you meet with Jerry in Seattle?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
And
beg your pardon.
In year six or seven, whatever it was, 96 season, Johnson, my former player at the University of New Orleans, who was starting as a center for Seattle.
Right.
And
Jerry Reinsdorf and I, we talked for two and a half hours.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville. I needed a new heel for my shoe, so I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now,
but going back to like 88.
I'm going to get there. I'll get to Seattle in 96. I'll get there. I was in the middle of an anecdote, fellas. Don't stop me now.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
And
beg your pardon.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Start reading the vomit bag straight out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The never-ending story. Well done, Chris Tannehill. Well done, Mully and Haw. As Mac would say, land the plane, Tim Floyd.
Oh, jeez. My goodness. You ask a guy what time it is, and he tells you how to build a watch. Yeah, he got there, though. He'll, you know, Mully saying, I beg your pardon. There's a segment waiting to happen somewhere. On The Score, Sports Radio 670. I beg your pardon. It just sounds like a bit, doesn't it? No?
It does. You think? No,
I don't want to do it, but it says somebody can run with it if they want to. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden.
I wonder if that's because of Pardon the Interruption at all.
Yeah, like, that is a colloquialism that has kind of died. I beg your pardon. My dad used to always say that. I mean, have you ever used that expression in your life?
I beg your pardon?
I beg your pardon.
Probably not.
Probably not, right. Yeah. I don't. It's been many, many years since I've used it, if I ever used it. But I love it when guys try to keep old verbiage alive, though. That works
for me.
Well,
this is the second day in a row that we've talked, because you love that Hub calls people yo-yos.
Yo-yos. Yes, Hub. And I think he thinks you're a yo-yo.
There are yo-yos everywhere.
I might.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A texter came up with the greatest suggestion yesterday. Just do an hour where Parkins can throw some of his football theories at Hub, and Hub can shoot holes in every damn one of them. And I got one for you. Next time we have Hub on, Tuesday of next week, if not sooner. Tell him Dick Butkus, if he played today, wouldn't be an every down middle linebacker. See what he thinks of that.
Okay. See, now I'm not trying to besmirch the man's era. Hub and I have a good relationship. We enjoy. I think anyway he enjoys it. Maybe it's one sided. I have no idea. But you know, a little bit of exchange of ideas, new school, old school, that sort of thing. I got one today. I've got a football theory for you that I honestly was going to throw at Hub yesterday, but just whatever I said to him, we were talking pass rush v coverage. What matters more in the modern NFL because of how quickly quarterbacks get rid of the ball? And he was so dismissive of that thought, and he was so polar opposite me on OJ Howard for Tariq Cohen that I just didn't have the energy for a third thing for him to disagree with.
Oh, that's fantastic!
I was just like,
he's run out of energy for Hub Arkush. 4:20. We'll take a timeout. We've been taking these first segments until 25, 26. That's enough. I don't have the energy for you.
I'm just going to put this one in my back pocket. I'll save it for time there.
Yeah, I couldn't muster the strength to try and talk some sense into a baby boomer, huh?
Listen, again, different strokes, different folks. Like, it's just sports talk. There's no, like, definitive you're right, you're wrong, right? It's just debate and ideas. And you know me, I like to come up with theories and ideas, and some of them are correct, and the others are absolutely correct.
He has been outstanding at his job. I've been in other stadiums where the guy in that job brings nothing to the game.
That was him breaking down Jim Reban on the Bernstein and McKnight show a while back right here on Sports Radio 670. Connor, if you're listening, I love you and I miss you. Hub, man, there is going to be a ton of draft chatter tomorrow night on this radio station. They're not stopping until the first round is a wrap, and then it really gets exciting on Friday night because the Bears have picks at 43 and 50. And I'm starting to get juiced for this. I do enjoy the documentary. I thought we more than I thought I would, The Last Dance, Sunday Night Parkins, episodes 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 I'm looking forward to. The whole series is setting up for me a very casual NBA aficionado. It's going to be perfect. But this is sports. This is something that's going to happen going forward. And I am excited about it. I don't think there's much drama up top the draft, but who knows what happens. And because we're broadcast dorks, the possibility for technical nightmares just entices me to no end. They are going to have more than 100 remote locations where video feeds are emanating, and that's a recipe for disaster, as Tom Brenneman said a few years ago when assessing a John Fox Bears team. I can't remember which game that was. But nonetheless, I'm excited for the draft and conversation about the draft. The Bears are going to find a few new players in this upcoming talent hunt, Danny. They're gonna find, hopefully, somebody who can make them better on the offensive line. And if a tight end is – if the local kid from Notre Dame is there at 43 and they take him, I got no issues with that.
I don't think he's good enough to go at 43. I think we're overrating him a little bit. It's not a very good tight end draft, despite what Ryan Pace says. But Ryan Pace says that every position is good in every draft because he doesn't offer specifics on his way of thinking. I think that would be a reach for Cole Kmet. I think they've got bigger needs on the offensive line and in their secondary.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if what they spent on Jimmy Graham and acquiring Demetrius Harris. I'd be a little surprised if, given that they don't have a pick again until the fifth round, if they use the 43rd or 50th pick on a tight end. And I will be honest with you, I had this thought. It was a fleeting one, but I had it because I, too, am very excited for the draft and the television event and present tense sports news. And normally, I'm not a huge draft guy because I think the preview and the lead up to it is just such nonsense. Like, these NFL teams spend hundreds of hours of man hours going into something that they themselves are not very good at, and luck matters so much in it. And then you have media experts who spend like single digit number of hours going over it, and they trying to say definitively what will or will not happen. I'm like, let's just react to it. But I had the fleeting thought, Mac, that, man, given these quarantined times that we're in, it'd be a lot more exciting if the Bears had the 19th pick in the draft tomorrow instead of the Raiders having it for the Khalil Mack trade. Like,
I know.
I'm glad the Bears have Khalil Mack when they're playing football, but for tomorrow, damn, it'd be a lot more exciting if the Bears had the 19th pick of the draft.
Yeah, because when the Bears have picked at 19th, it's always been so much fun on the back end of it. You got the last 19 pick for the Bears quickly? Come
no.
on. We talk about him regularly. 2012 was the year.
We talk about...
Yeah.
Shea McClellan,
yes. Hey 19, the Shea McClellan
yes.
draft. And the as soon as he got to the bright lights of Kankakee County, he folded up.
Yeah, well,
so we were talking, one of the things with Hub yesterday that I really agree with him on, too, is big-time programs. And it's not an across-the-board rule, for crying out loud. Two of the best players in NFL history were Walter Payton and Jerry Rice, and they went to nowhere schools, Jackson State and Mississippi Valley. So I'm not saying you have to go to a big-time college football, but don't you want your players, don't you feel better if you're dealing with a guy who's played in front of 90,000 people regularly and knows what it is to have the pressure of trying to compete for big-time conference championships and get into the college football playoffs? I want guys who've been through that grind. It doesn't ensure me they're going to be everything. There's going to be misses there, too. But I would much rather choose from that talent crop than some of the things that Pace has done in the past. And I heard a tight end being discussed today on Who's Your Guy. There's normalcy for you. Tune yes. into The Score in middays, and Dan Bernstein's doing Who's Your Guy with Matt Miller today. And they were discussing a tight end out of Dayton. And I'm thinking, boy, that's perfect for Ryan Pace. Yeah, you give him Dayton.
That would be when you were gone last week and we had the senior draft analyst from Pro Football Focus. I was asking who would be a good offensive lineman value in early second round, and he said Ben Bartsch, the tackle from St. John's. I was like, St. John's as a football team? What are you talking about? Like that is a
I didn't know that either.
That is a perfect Ryan Pace pick.
When did St. John's get a football team?
I don't even know if it's the same St. John's.
Yeah, it can't be the same. Not the one Bill Wennington attended, right?
Yeah, I don't think
they
it's
don't
the
have
same.
A football team.
No, it's a different. I think it's a different
St. John's.
But he's like, if you Ben Bartsch, like that's a guy to look out for the Bears at 43 or 50 if they're looking for a high upside tackle. I'm like, oh God, that is such a Ryan Pace pick. And I'm with you. Like, you don't want to do absolutes on that stuff, right? Khalil Mack was an absolute stud. Played at University of Buffalo, right? You had some action. So you don't
school,
need
yeah.
to only draft guys from Clemson and Alabama and Georgia and LSU. But when push comes to shove, if it's like tiebreaker goes to
yes.
the SEC school or tiebreaker goes to the guys who competed on the biggest stage, right? Like that's a reasonable thing. I mean, Roquan Smith's a good recent example of that for the Bears. You watch that Georgia-Oklahoma. You watch that game. It's like, okay, there's NFL players all over the field.
Exactly.
Roquan Smith was the best player on the field. That translates. Division III St. John's in Minnesota is who they were talking about for Ben Bartsch. Thank you to the texters. But yeah, when I heard that name, I was like, oh God, that's something Ryan Pace would do in the first or second year of his contract. I'm not sure if Ryan Pace has enough job security to go out on that limb right now.
Maybe Ben Bartsch will wind up playing for the Raiders and be the opposite tackle of Brian Bulaga. Ben Bartsch and Brian Bulaga. Boop.
It's possible. We could only
just
dream.
Random thought here for you. Been thinking a little bit more about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since we wrapped up yesterday and the bigness of the story, and I want to keep talking about it today. I you know, this probably is as talented of a group as Tom Brady has had assembled, but I cannot pull the trigger yet on believing in this team to win its division. And I'm just wondering if they're being set up in terms of expectation for different reasons, but expectation level of last year's Cleveland Browns, and they wind up winning 6 or 7 ball games as a result of it. Different factors, but a lot of new faces, specifically Brady and Gronk. giving all kinds of reason to have enthusiasm, just like they did in Cleveland last year, to have a big bet-wetting session most of the season. And that's kind of what I see Tampa as. And it doesn't make sense because on paper they're as good as anybody but the team I think that will win their division, the New Orleans Saints. The skilled positions, tight end, receivers, running backs, I think the Buccaneers are as good as anybody except New Orleans in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I'd put the Chiefs still in that group.
Probably.
Especially if you count quarterback as a skill position. You know?
Yeah, I'm thinking more the guys around the quarterback, but if you throw the quarterback in, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and so I'm with you. Like the names are incredible. The hype is going to be crazy. The storylines are fantastic. I just think there's like a 50-50 shot that Brady is straight up done. I was saying this for years. Like eventually you're going to be right if you predict the end of the Patriots dynasty, and it finally happened. And you now the question will be how much of it was he didn't have nearly enough help around him, or how much of it was him. Because right. Now he's got the help around him. He doesn't have Belichick.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a great offensive line, but he certainly didn't in New England this past year either. But the skill position guys, like you said, are just so ridiculous. Gets to play in warm weather for whatever that's worth. Still doesn't go to a dome. But how much of this is Brady's natural decline as a 42, 43-year-old man, and how much of it is, man, New England was just put together with bandages last year?
And I'm thinking more, too, about Gronkowski and how the year off, as has been suggested by you yesterday, probably did him a world of good, and I need to open my mind to that a little bit. I still think that arrow clearly is down. He's 31 next month, so I don't think there's a long road ahead for Rob Gronkowski, but he's probably going to be a little bit better than I was suggesting yesterday. I just had such a bad taste in my mouth from his last year when he looked like he was just in pain, but he was hurt most of the year. Whether he can get the body back in football shape, I guess his weight is back up to about 260 because he thinned out after he went on the media tour last year. He wasn't in the weight room. He wasn't doing supplements or whatever else a guy like Gronk does to get his muscles. But, yeah, I probably was. And if I'm them, I keep both. I'm not parting company with a young player like O.J. Howard. I'm keeping both. You're going to employ double tight end sets 35% of the time anyway, and you're going to want them both on the field. So I'm okay with both of those tight ends and the other kid, too. They've got.
Well, Cameron Brate, that's the thing. Like Cameron Brate might actually work better in the two tight end sets with Gronk, and then if you can get more for O.J. Howard. I'd be a little surprised just given that their window to win with Brady is this year and maybe next year. I'd be surprised if they held on to all three of those tight ends and they're clearly holding on to Gronk. But maybe. Maybe it's just we're going to throw everything we can at pass catchers on offense to help Brady as much as possible. It's certainly in play that happens. Texter asking if I just gave away the Bears' fourth-round pick. No, they did. When they traded for David Montgomery to move up last year. They traded this year's fourth-round pick. So the Bears have two in the second round, no first, no third, no fourth. They have a fifth-round pick and I believe multiple sixth-round picks and then their seventh-round pick as well. So there's a huge gap. I think the Bears pick 50th. I know they pick 50th. And then their next pick isn't until the 160s, 163. Shepard can find that for me. But there's a huge gap between their second-round pick and when they pick again in the fifth round.
I know. It's going to be – we have a sporting event, but it's like someday when Owen's running track, maybe you'll experience this. When you go to your kid's track meet and he has one of the first events, and then you've got to hang around for almost 2 hours because he's also in one of the last. My youngest was a sprinter. He ran the 100 meters, which is the second event, and he also ran the 1,600-meter relay, which was second to last. So you got to kill an hour. This is like a longer refractory period even than that. This is going to be draft torture, waiting for your team to finally get back on the clock to see what Ryan Pace has got up his sleeve so we can make a room more interesting.
My parents would say that when I was doing swimming. They were like, man, you'd swim early, and then we just sit on this bench in the stands
yeah,
for an hour and a half. And then your next event is a 100-yard freestyle. And it's like we wait around for 2 hours. You dive into the pool. You swim there and back. And then we get to go home because you finished fifth. Yeah. Like, awesome.
That's my boy.
Yeah. We're so proud of you. I'm like, thank you. You guys are very, very supportive. And I mean that genuinely.
That is. Hey, you want Percy Harvin on the Bears?
So, it's funny you mentioned Percy. I might have been the president of the Percy Harvin fan club.
Oh, you'd have had to knock me out of the way. I loved him too.
It shouldn't be surprising because I love those high ceiling guys. Insane athlete. Just get the ball in his hands. He could do a whole lot of different things. And it's like he never really put it together for any sustained period of time, but for that 1 year where it's like, man, every time Percy Harvin touched the ball, it was like he gained 15 yards.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Good things happen when the ball was in his hands. I scratched my head at the time. Why can't you feature him a little bit more? Because he was a multi-threat player. He was a decent returner. He had terrific skills in the open field, as in space, as we say in the 21st century, and was a pretty tough kid too, with good hands. He could hurt you as a running back. He was a very versatile player, and I was surprised his star did not ascend. And while I would liken him kind of to Golden Tate, they're similar. Tate has not had the dabble in running back the way Harvin did, especially with Minnesota near the end there. But and Tate's managed to earn a check in the NFL for a long, long time, and he's a pretty good player. But I also was expecting him to be a little bit more prolific than he's been as a pro. But I think they were similar players. They reminded me of each other. But Harvin could do more. Do I want him on the bench? I have no idea. He's not played in 6 years. So
I'm a no on Percy Harvin. Now, if you want to bring him into camp,
yeah,
that's fine.
It doesn't cost you anything, probably.
Yeah, I'd bet against him having a prolific comeback, just given how long he's been away. But I'm here for Percy Harvin stories. Like, if we can get someone who could tell University of Florida Percy Harvin stories, like, there are some legendary ones, like him getting into fights and coaches being afraid of him, and with all these NFL players all around them, like him being the biggest, baddest dude on the team. Like, Percy Harvin, kind of a legend in that regard. So I've been a fan of his for a long, long time, and when I saw that video of him running up that spiral stadium, I was like, okay, it'd be kind of cool if he made a comeback, but I will bet against it. And by the way, nailed it. The 50th pick and the 163rd pick for the Bears. So after you watch the first half of the second round on Friday night, you can probably tune out for about 36 hours until the Bears are going to make another selection in the NFL draft.
Pat yourself on the back a little bit for having the recall on those numbers. That was a good one. Hey, you know what? The Bears could get Percy Harvin to replace Tariq Cohen if you could trade him to Tampa for O.J. Howard.
There now, we go.
Hub may jump off a tall building if that happens.
There's yo-yos everywhere.
But then you would have a roster spot where he does similar things, right?
Yeah, you would. Percy Harvin, he's one of the few guys, like, he's certainly bigger than Tariq Cohen. But, like a gadget player, you could use him as a returner, jet sweeps and all of that.
We got it figured out.
If the NFL values Tariq Cohen as much as Hub values Tariq Cohen, Ryan Pace should trade Tariq Cohen for a draft pick. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, all right.
Traded for a third round pick yesterday. Let's go. It's silly season, Mac, in terms of rumors at the top of the draft. This won't impact the Bears, but it could shake up the NFC North and the NFL. I'll give you the latest rumor next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On the score.
I feel like there's truth to all rumors.
That's Stephon Diggs, who says there's truth to all rumors. Not sure if there's any truth to that, but NFL draft season will certainly put it to the test. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. So, if you follow gambling odds, you can bet on the NFL draft. Over-unders on when a player will be picked. Will a team take offense or defense first overall? Will there be more guys from the SEC or the ACC picked in a particular round? Like, you can gamble on anything. And seemingly, with each rumor that comes out, the odds adjust. And I guess that makes sense because people just take these rumors at somewhat face value. I see this one, though, from Ian Rappaport, Mac, and I just say it out loud. It doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. Says the Dolphins have called the teams in front of them. The Dolphins have the fifth overall pick and are gauging the price to come up to the third overall pick. So that would be the Detroit Lions. To potentially take an offensive tackle, we could see a run on tackles in the top 10 like never before. Do you think it's at all possible that the Miami Dolphins basically tried to tank away an NFL season, acquired all of these extra draft picks, traded Minka Fitzpatrick to the Steelers for an extra first, so that they could move up from 5 to 3 to take an offensive lineman?
Boy, that man, that seems unlikely to me that they would do that, especially given the depth at that position in this year's draft. And as you said, they've got another first round pick. What is their second pick is in the late teens, is it? I think.
Well, they have three, don't they?
Three first rounders. Okay,
yeah, they've got the 18th overall pick from the. From Pittsburgh, like I said, for the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, and then they got the 26th overall pick from the Texans for the Laremy Tunsil trade. Mm-hmm. So they've got 5, 18, and 26, moving up from 5 to 3 to take an offensive lineman when they don't have a quarterback of the future. It strikes me as so unbelievably unlikely.
Yeah.
This is a good draft at the top. Like, is it? Miami could stay there, and Jeff Okuda, the number one corner from Ohio State, easily could be there. I feel like the only way they trade up from 5 to 3 is if they are worried that someone else is going to trade up to take a quarterback, and they want to block them because the Giants are not taking a quarterback at 4,
right?
And I don't think the Lions are going to take a quarterback at 3. So
unlikely.
Right? So, like, if the Dolphins are worried that the Chargers are going to jump in front of them to take Tua or Herbert, maybe they move up. But I wouldn't think it would be for an offensive lineman.
The mocks I was watching this morning on NFL Network, both I can't remember who they were, but I saw the Dolphins at 5. The back-to-back mock drafts had quarterbacks, one of them Tua, the other Herbert. So I think that's the thinking there, is they're going to stay where they're at and go quarterback, and that would make the most sense to me, man. You move up without a quarterback, you're going to move up and whew.
Well, and Shep is pointing out they could take a tackle first and then take, you know, if they loved Jordan Love or something, or Herbert, and they think that they're going to be there at 18 or 26.
You're going to roll dice, though? You're going to roll dice? They're going to, then what are you going to do if they're not there? I mean, that's...
Well, right, and you might have to trade. I mean, what does it cost? So it cost the Bears to move up from 3 to 2. It cost multiple mid-round picks. Like, to move up from 5 to 3, I wonder, like, do they have to give up a future first-round pick to move up to? It costs a lot of money to move up at the top of the draft. I'd be really surprised if the Dolphins acquired all of this draft capital to move up and not take a franchise quarterback. That doesn't, especially in a tackle-rich draft. Like, how sure are you that, you know, the tackle from Alabama is going to be that much better than the tackle from Louisville, who's going to be that much better? There's four tackles with top half of the first round grades. It just, I don't know, that does not strike me as a very good idea at all.
Yeah, they need a young quarterback, and one who hopefully will be around long enough for, Bob Greasy, hopefully he can hang in there to see him become a veteran quarterback and lead his team down the field. But that's what Miami needs, and I don't know if I would be rolling dice at 5 on Tua, given the uncertainty of his health, but that's going to be an interesting thing tomorrow night too, to see where he winds up going. And your potential scenario you thought about yesterday of Bill Belichick going out and making Tua a New England Patriot is just fascinating.
that would make
them one of the they're going to be one of the most interesting teams to watch anyway, to see what they've got left. I would not bet against them being a playoff team, and I don't even know who their God blessed quarterback is today.
Yeah, I mean, they finished number one in a lot of the defensive rankings last year. They had the best secondary in the NFL last year. They've got the best coach in the NFL, and they've got a very winnable division for a team that won 12 games with a totally broken offense. So if they improve their offense in some form or fashion this year, I do think that the Patriots could win double-digit games again. It's their lowest over-under win total in like 15 years or something for the Patriots. So,
have you looked at our site, by the way, for propositional bets? Because we always bitch about Bovada, and I've not even thought about doing it, but we've been sitting on about $1,200 since Super Bowl 54. We should make some moves for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I did, because I went on You Better You Bet yesterday. It aired on The Score. They're airing on Entercom stations across the country, NFL draft shows, and so I was their guest last night, and we did some Chicago stuff and then some gambling stuff, so I was prepping for that and looking at the draft props, because I hadn't made any of the bets myself. You can bet on our site, week one starter for the Bears, Nick Foles v. Mitch Trubisky. Foles is a -160 favorite. You can bet the one I liked, it's -175, but week one starter at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tua, Herbert, and Cam Newton were the only four choices. Fitzpatrick is a -175 favorite. It feels like an absolute mortal lock that two of those four guys are not even going to be on the roster, right? And I mean, potentially three of the four are not going to be on the roster, right?
What you're seeing here is an experienced quarterback moving his team down the field.
There's my guy.
There he is. Oh, it makes you feel good. But the only guy of the four that you could bet on for the Dolphins that you know is on the roster is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Correct.
Like, right. What if they do what Shep just said and they draft Bryce Love, and he was not even a guy you could draft? And like, Tua, I don't think is starting week one. Herbert, I certainly don't think is starting week one. And Cam Newton, you know, isn't a Miami Dolphin. So I felt like that was a fairly safe pick, safe bet. And then you can bet, like I said, each team, will their first selection be offense or defense? For the Bears, it was a slight favorite towards offense, minus 125 for offense over defense.
Yeah, they're going to want to play that guy if they draft a quarterback at five, Danny. They're going to give him every opportunity in camp to show that he's ready. So,
guys that get drafted don't have to start week one.
I understand what you're saying. I think they would, they're going to get every opportunity to prove that he's the guy, though. I would be surprised. I probably wouldn't want to touch the bet. I understand your point, but I probably wouldn't want to touch the bet. What else did you find of note? Did you?
They have everything. I mean, every player that you could possibly care about, their over-under on.
Is there an over-under on how many Alabama players go in the first round?
There is.
Yeah.
I don't remember the number. I mean, there were hundreds of them. But, I mean, you can bet.
Hundreds
of
bets, not hundreds of Alabama players going
that
in
would
the first
be a record
round.
Yeah. No, hundreds of bets. You could bet, like I said, you could bet ACC v Big Ten draft picks. You could bet Clemson v Ohio State players, drafted. Anything you could possibly imagine is available for you to gamble on. I had this theory. It's one that most people will completely shoot down, and I'm not even saying I entirely believe it, but I think there's a little value there, but I'll run it past you. Is it at all possible that your guy Ron Rivera, Chico, is a believer that a lockdown corner is more valuable in today's NFL than a stud pass rusher? And if so, is it possible that Jeff Okuda, the top corner from Ohio State, gets picked before his Ohio State teammate Chase Young? Because Okuda, his over-under for draft position was 4.5, and Chase Young, to be the second defensive player chosen, is 45-1. So the odds are overwhelming that Chase Young is going to be the second pick in the draft. That's what everybody assumes is the case, and it's what I assume also. But I was thinking of when the Browns had the first and the fourth pick in the draft, and everybody thought that they were going to take Bradley Chubb to put on the opposite end of the line opposite Myles Garrett. And they took Denzel Ward, the corner from Ohio State, and they haven't looked back. Denzel Ward's been awesome since he's been in the NFL. And I was thinking maybe they'll say, we want the lockdown corner from the university that has been churning out starting caliber corners at the same rate that they've been churning out starting caliber pass rushers. And if you think there's any shot that Okuda is the second overall pick, Chase Young is the second defensive player off the board is 45-1. Might be worth a little bit of a look.
I think Chico is going to go for the explosive pass rusher, and it's his call. And just knowing him over the years and knowing what pass rush means to him, what it should mean to any defensive coordinator, whether he was a player or an assistant coach or as a head man, that's always been priority for him. And while he values the corner position, you're nuts not to. Pass rush will titillate him more. I'm stunned if he doesn't take Chase Young.
I will be stunned also.
Yeah, that would floor me.
I will be stunned also, for the record, but 45-1 when people are talking about Okuda as a Darrell Revis comp. Like, if you told me he was Darrell Revis, you would take him. Right? It's a Hall of Fame corner.
Yeah, it is, but everybody says Young is going to be every bit as good as the Flying Boses out of Ohio State.
Yeah, and I don't know that either of those guys are Hall of Famers.
They've only been in the league a couple years. I would think they're, early signs are going that direction.
They're both fantastic, and Chase Young might be better than both of them. Listen, again, I'm with you. I think he's overwhelmingly likely going to take Chase Young, but you asked what props I was looking at. I was like, 45-1. Mm-hmm. I've wasted money on dumber things than this.
Yeah, you bet Mitch Trubisky to win the NFL's MVP award.
Exactly.
Yee.
Story about our guy Ron Rivera that felt like it was written either for The Onion or for the McNeil and Parkin Show mob. We'll bring it to you before Tom Thayer at 3 on the score.
Hey, Tom, you're up early.
Well, it is draft day. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm having a great day. about you?
Well, I'm sitting here eating my pancakes, thinking about moving number one.
You make this deal right now, Tom, and you get Bo Callahan. Say it with me. You get Bo. Come on, Tom, say it with me, you pancake-eating...
One of Mac's favorite movies, probably the single most referenced movie on this show, Draft Day, as we are one day away from Draft Day. We've had Patrick Saint Esprit on the show, that pancake-eating mother bleeper, and I'm reading today on ESPN.com a little blurb about Mac's good friend, friend of the station, friend of the show, friend of Bear fans, Ron Rivera. He says that he will be employing all of his family for help during the NFL draft. Mac, you know his wife, Stephanie, and his daughter,
Coach Steph. Yeah.
So this is straight out of ESPN. Uh-huh. He'll need the help of two others to make his at-home draft setup work, his wife and his daughter. Rivera's wife, Stephanie, and daughter, Courtney, will play roles during the draft, allowing the coach to stay focused on the big screen TVs and computers. His daughter, who works for the Redskins' social media department, put together a video detailing the Rivera's home setup and showing Stephanie keeping him fed with pancakes.
Happy birthday, Chico.
That's awesome. Chico getting a little pancake breakfast.
Ron Rivera is literally a pancake-eating mother bleeper.
Oh, that's great. That's so good, and it's good to have the support of family. And, I wonder if some people around the Redskins are going to get uptight about Stephanie actually doing that for him, because there were some people in Pantherland who felt she was too strong of a presence around the football team. I don't know. But certainly he's in a good place then with technology. He shouldn't have the issues Ryan Pace experienced the other day when his wife, I believe also a Stephanie, I think, was vacuuming and knocked him offline.
I got this amazing setup, Dan, with all these screens, and Stephanie's vacuuming and hits the cord and every screen goes black.
Right, you're right.
All the best wives are named Stephanie. Everybody knows that.
The Stephanies want you to stay out of the kitchen on draft night.
The Lindas.
So they can make their pancakes. The Lindas.
Me, Chico, and Ryan Pace. The Lindas in the cash room.
That's great.
Oh, man. Do you think, have you ever discussed the film Draft Day with your friend Ron Rivera? Is it possible he's trolling to just be a pancake-eating mother bleeper?
You know, I can shoot him a text and ask him if that's the case. I will do so during the upcoming timeout. We've never discussed the movie, no.
Come on tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Right, he's not doing anything.
You don't have to bother him now if you don't want to, but just tell him
shoot him a text. He'll get back to me. He's not always right away, but usually within a couple hours he's back to us.
Yeah, all right. Well, I sent you the screenshot of the story in our morning text change because it was so great. I'm like, man, Ron Rivera is a pancake-eating mother bleeper. It makes me really happy. This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Since 1930, Grand Appliance has been serving Chicagoland with expert sales advice, professional delivery, and the lowest prices every day. And that is still true today. They're open with expanded live chat and phone support and are here for you. Shop GrandAppliance.com. Today, many people on the text line have said that maybe the Dolphins would draft a tackle because they want to wait for Trevor Lawrence next year. That's not a plan. Like we talk about hope and prayer not being a plan. Every bad team is going to try to tank for Trevor Lawrence next year. He's going to be the most hyped NFL draft prospect since Andrew Luck.
What do you mean by tank? There's no tank in the NFL unless you're talking about administratively, behind the scenes.
We saw it with the Dolphins last year. It seemed like they were trying to tank by trading players off of that team.
Right, administratively, but early on. Then he started winning some games, and people started paying attention to him. It's like, well, no tank here. Players aren't going to tank. Players are playing for their paychecks.
Correct.
There's no way you get a player in any organization to lie down out there. That just doesn't happen. But, you know, if you're restructuring a roster for the future, that's a different animal.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if you are an organization who administratively is not trying to do everything they can to win this year. So you're organizationally tanking, and you're hoping for Trevor Lawrence next year. There's going to be a lot of teams who are doing the same thing. Like, there's going to be competition whenever there is a football season this year, if there is a football season this year. I promise you, there will be competition of teams racing to the bottom.
Well, yes, and even if it's not their intention, there are going to be teams that are not going to win more than four or five games. So you're going to have competition for the bottom. So, well, which gets you at the top for next year's draft. There's no certainty that you don't go out there and you wind up picking third or fourth next year, and you got no shot at him there anyway.
No chance. He will be the number one overall pick, and I would take Tua over Herbert based on what I know, but I obviously have no insight into the medicals, right? So that's why I think the draft conversation on the front end can often be ludicrous coming from people like us. It's like, these NFL teams haven't been able to get him in for a workout and their own doctors to do exams on him. So how the hell is anyone in the media supposed to do it? Based on film, Tua was way better than Herbert. Based on production, level of competition, what he won in college, it wasn't even close. But I have no idea how bad his injury is. So, like, any prediction I give there is just it has to be qualified.
Yeah, it's a guess. Well, it's all guesswork, actually. I mean, even when a guy isn't hurt, we're all guessing.
Right. When you dislocate a hip. And so a texter was saying, you know, Parkins, you were so critical on people for, you know, downplaying Deshaun Watson. You're doing the same thing with Tua. Tua is exactly the same as Watson. It's not the same. Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, which is a standard injury, and came back from it and won a championship after he tore his knee. Tua dislocated his hip and hasn't played football since.
Right.
They're not the same.
Right, yes. One is proven post-recovery fine and ready to go.
Correct. So it's and the level of, like, the commonality of the injury is different. Yeah. An ACL repair is routine. It's like Tommy John surgery in baseball. Like,
sometimes.
More routine than a dislocated hip.
Well, the hip is the most perfect joint in the human body. I don't know if that slashing is a big part of a player's repertoire, an ACL can really limit his effectiveness. I'm not saying they don't do it. You're right. I mean, some of them have done it and done it for a long period of time. My guy Frank Gore had ACL deals in college and played in the league for 16 freaking years last year. I think it was year 16 or 15 for Gore, but that's the exception more than it's the rule.
Tom Thayer will join us coming up. What does he think is the perfect outcome for the Bears with the 43rd and 50th pick in the draft? Tom Thayer next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.